the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We have covered the increased price of petrol and diesel quite a lot on this programme in recent weeks. And as you were hearing there from Mark Hogan during the traffic, there are significant protests happening around the country where a relatively small number of drivers are managing to block up the streets, and everyone else is finding it difficult to get home or get to work or wherever it is they are going in a large part of the country tonight because of that. Now, as it happens, traffic congestion is something that has been an issue. We've also discussed on this programme many times, and particularly in recent months, the feeling amongst a lot of listeners who've been in contact with the programme is that things are getting an awful lot worse, which is why we were interested in a piece that Geraldine Herbert wrote for the independent.ie website with a number of suggestions as to how to make the traffic congestion a little bit lighter. Geraldine, thank you very much for joining us here on the programme. You had 8 suggestions I'd like to run through with you. And there's one that I actually hadn't thought of until you wrote about it. The amount of time it takes to get on buses, and the buses then blocking the traffic while they're taking on commuters. Tell us about your suggested solution for this, please.
Yeah, I've no doubt not somebody's going to come up with a problem to this solution. But it struck me that if you look at how people mount the Lewis and trains, they just tap before they actually get on board. But yet on a bus, we get on the one door, which is the one at the where the driver is. You have to tap, and people, it like take ages. There's queues, and these might only be small little delays, but cumulatively they add up to quite a lot. Cars get stuck behind these buses while we wait for everybody. Now, I'm sure one of the reasons why it's done this way is to ensure that people actually pay their fare. But I think we should look at the priority being to move people on board as fast as we can and move, you know, to get moving as fast as we can rather than detecting fare evasion. So a simple way to do that is just you tap before you get on the bus.
Well, I'd suggest to that, actually, Geraldine, that's what happens on the Lewis. But then what happens is there's a good chance that if you get on the Lewis that you will find an inspector who will come to actually check if you have tapped or if you have paid before getting. So maybe the solution would be we'd have to have an awful lot more inspectors on buses if we were to do that.
Yeah, we would, or else we just think to ourselves, do you know what, we'll have a certain amount of fare evasion that we can't do anything about, but the priority is to make the bus more attractive. Like, I think it's a matter of deciding what it is we want the buses to achieve, and if it's purely to be paid for, well then yeah, I mean there's probably better ways of making sure that people pay their fares. But if it is actually to transport people around the cities and to get people to use the buses and to make the buses more efficient and make them more attractive, then I think it's a cost worth bearing that we are going to have a certain amount of evasion if we do it that way.
Well, actually, some listeners, one says free public transport would spread up onboarding. And indeed, I think that's what they're doing in some parts of Australia at present to deal with the current oil crisis. Your second one, fewer traffic lights. Tell us why.
Yeah, this again, now I'm not suggesting, you know, lights versus no lights. I mean, there are very good reasons why we need traffic lights, but there are stretches, and particularly in the city, where you just seem to hit traffic light after traffic light after traffic light, and they seem to serve no purpose. So again, the idea there, and I think actually too many traffic lights probably encourage risk taking. You have drivers racing to make it through the yellow because they don't want to have to be stopped again, and pedestrians are trying to, you know, get across the road quickly and all sorts of things. So I think we need to be smarter about the traffic lights. Maybe do an audit on what we actually need, and also ensure that there is, you know, this idea of a green wave, which basically means that if you're driving at a certain speed limit through the city, you should be able to meet each traffic light should be turning green at the same time, so you can actually get through the city. And we could just be smarter about traffic lights and prioritise buses travelling through them, and just, we don't necessarily need as many as we have.
Your third suggestion is one I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people. Plan roadwork sensibly. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is another one, Matt. I mean, how many times have you come along and you're stuck with behind roadworks or whatever, and you've had to make diversions to your journey, and then 6 months to 9 months later, this roadworks again in exactly the same spot, and you think to yourself, could they not have just done all of these things at the one time? So that's what this idea is. It's a one-dig policy, and they actually have it in South Dublin County Council, whereby all of the utilities are notified, and when there's digging going on and roadworks going on, they all are dealt with at the same time. Now, this was brought in last year, and it seems to me the most sensible sensible idea, and it should be like rolled out across all of our cities and all of our urban areas, because roadworks are just something that they are unavoidable, but they can be managed much better.
Okay. Now, here's a controversial one. You want to stop encouraging cycling, but your way of doing that is to just give people bikes.
Yeah, so stop trying to, you know, encourage them and just get them cycling. That's the idea. Again, going back to that idea of free public transport, one of the things we always look at in terms of getting people, you know, out of their cars is, oh, free public transport would do it. But actually, most studies show that the people who benefit from free public transport are people who are using it anyway. They just tend to use it more. And it doesn't actually encourage people who don't use public transport to use it, because obviously price is not one of the big things. You know, there's lots more considerations around whether or not public transport suits. But actually, giving free bikes does make a huge difference. And this has been trialled quite extensively in the UK, where local authorities or government schemes have actually just given people bikes for a trial period to see how they get on. And they've ended up actually converting people who normally would never consider cycling into being cyclists, or considering cycling at least, particularly with e-bikes as well, because they tend to actually encourage more people who maybe don't have the stamina for cycling and don't have the, you know, they're not as fit, because they're that bit easier and you can travel longer distances with them. So that's an idea. Okay, it's controversial, but it might be better money spent than making public transport free.
Okay, well, we've one listener says, oh my god, Matt, finally somebody who's talking sense. And I think that's about you rather than me, Geraldine. Okay, your next one: run express trains that are actually express.
Yeah, again, I think there's two types of train users. There's the ones who just hop on for a few stops, and then there's the ones who actually travel long distance. And we should prioritise the very long distance travellers. And there should be more express trains, because, you know, they don't want to do a tour of various different stops along the way. They actually just want to get somewhere. And also, again, about making public transport more attractive, if the train is far faster than the car, you get much more people to use it, and more people will be more likely to, you know, leave their car and actually opt for the train. But at the moment, some of those trains, they meander around the place so long that there isn't much of a saving. So, you know, I'm not suggesting all trains be express, but we need to prioritise the express trains.
Okay. And then we have a listener who's preempted your sixth choice. This one says, how about building free park and ride facilities at transport hubs on the outskirts, like the Red Cow or the Leopardstown, or any of the new railway stations that are all at capacity at rush hour? Because you actually want to build park and ride where it works.
Yeah, I think we should do a lot of research as to where are the optimal places for them, because location is key. We see that there's been various studies across Europe on that. And also, not only location, but make sure that there's good lighting, there's security, and it shouldn't be revenue generating. It should be either free or very cheap, you know, a token amount or whatever. So yeah, park and ride is definitely something that, and again, it could be rolled out quite easily.
One listener says, give that woman a medal. You're getting lots of new fans, Geraldine, with this. Another one that you have on your list is, stop pretending that bridge strikes are acts of God.
Yeah, I mean, these drive me mad. There's, you know, like the few phrases can drain hope from a train station as rapidly as a service disruption due to a bridge strike. These happen. There's about 80 to 90 of these every year, and they cause huge disruption. Again, I mean, it's expensive. There's things you can do to prevent them, but we need to roll it out more. When you actually add up the cost of disruption to trains, it's much, much more cost effective to actually prevent these bridge strikes in the first place. There are things that can be done. There is new technology that's been used, but it hasn't been rolled out as extensively as it should. So yeah, I think that's one of the things we can do. And anyone who's ever been caught up on one of these will probably agree.
A listener says, we have 7 sets of traffic lights on a stretch of 1.5 kilometres on Headford Road, Galway. The bus drivers hate it. I'd say everybody would actually hate that. Another listener says, Barnow Road, without doubt, has been dug up annually for the last 35 years. I think I've been caught in those traffic jams in Galway occasionally as well. Your final one, though: give people fewer reasons to commute at all.
Yeah, regional hubs, I think, are something that just we don't talk about enough, because I don't think working from home works for everybody, and not everybody obviously wants to do the commute and the long distance commute, because I think long-term home working is associated with social isolation and loneliness. And I think sometimes people do actually just need to be in a work environment, and regional hubs are sort of the best of both worlds in that sense, because they give people that, you know, the ability to work with colleagues but not have to have the long commute. And I suppose they could also revitalize small towns or whatever, because they bring some, you know, they bring people back into town. So I think we should do more about regional hubs and look more as that being a solution. Because as I said, and like in terms of working from home, I think some, for some people, the lines are blurred between being home and working, and it's very difficult, and home is full of distractions. So I think somewhere to go that would be quite near would make a big difference for people.
Geraldine Herbert from the Irish and Sunday Independent, thank you so much.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.